Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Cannabis Insider for 2024. As you can probably tell, we're not Elliot Lane or Javier Hasse. Surprise. I'm Abby Higginbotham, and I'm joined by the fantastic Pato Little.
Hello, that's right. We're your new host here for Cannabis Insider. We're super excited to be here. Don't worry, though. You will see Javi and Elliot here occasionally. So keep an eye out. But this is a new year, full of new stories and a whole lot of exciting cannabis stories to share. So we're here to keep you up to date with the latest and greatest in the cannabis world.
Today's show is jam-packed with some really cool stuff. We're diving into everything from the latest market trends to exclusive interviews today with a big player in the cannabis industry. We've got a special one lined up for you today. We have Robert Sindelar with us. He is the Chief Product Officer, amongst many other fantastic titles, but is the brain behind UCA's game-changing cannabis products. So this guy is shaping the future of how we enjoy cannabis and what I would like to say, blending high tech with high times.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm really excited so that we can dive into our interview. But first things first, let's take a look at the top cannabis news stories for today. If you agree to, I wanted to start with a Wisconsin update, actually. A story we have covered from Bensinga a couple of times this week because it had quite a few developments. But basically, Republican lawmakers are pushing a pretty restrictive bill that would legalize only non-smokable medical cannabis for severe conditions. And when we say non-smokable, we refer to oils, gummies, tinctures, and creams. And I just wanted to say that this movie is interesting, especially given to the broader legalization trends we're seeing in neighboring states like Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan. So this is going to be definitely something to keep an eye on. And it really highlights kind of a push-pull scenario where public opinion is leaning one way, but legislative moves are definitely tipping into another.
And I mean, this is all over the US. So like jumping over to Ohio as well, like we've got a bit of a showdown happening despite the voters saying yes to legalizing recreational marijuana. The bill's stuck in a political gridlock. So the GOP-led Senate and House can't seem to agree on how to roll it out, especially on sales at medical dispensaries. And while the Senate's got a plan, the House is busy with other stuff, leaving Ohio's cannabis enthusiasts and officials just hanging. It's a classic case, I think, of slowing down what the people have already decided. And so we'll just have to watch and wait and see how this plays out in the Buckeye State.
Definitely. Yeah, those are really important updates for, especially for investors looking for getting a piece on this really burgeoning market all over the U.S. And switching actually gears to the international cannabis updates, there's a mix of moves happening, and I wanted to highlight one especially. That's Thailand, which is actually rethinking its formerly relaxed stance on recreational cannabis. And they are actually, again, not probably rolling back, and the new measure would support law enforcement in the prosecution of individuals who use cannabis recreationally. So again, this was, again, one of the most recent markets to legalize cannabis. So again, it's kind of a dynamic thing, and you gotta keep keep your seatbelt on because things change really quickly. And again, really quickly on Europe side, Spain, on the other hand, is making strides with medical marijuana reforms. And back to America, Canada's facing an unexpected issue. Again, something we have covered here broadly from Singa. And this is over related to the oversupply of cannabis and how cannabis the oversupply of cannabis is taken care of by Canada. So again, you can drop by our bensinga.com/cannabis portal, and you can find all the latest about these developing stories on our website.
It's definitely all over. Cannabis is constantly changing with regulations and law universally. I would say a lot of it that, you know, we see or that I see is in the U.S. And something that stood out to me today was, and I'll say maybe the final point is, it's kind of making waves in political circles, is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis eyeing that 2024 presidential run. He made a bold statement on cannabis. He's pledging to respect state decisions on legalization if he makes it to the White House. But DeSantis hasn't necessarily been pro-recreational cannabis. He's pointed out concerns from states like Colorado, who've had it legalized for many years. But he's recognizing the national push towards legalization, which is just kind of rare to come from somebody who's been so against it in the past. But this is a big deal in the political arena, and it could shape the landscape of cannabis policies in the U.S. if he were to be elected. It's ever-changing. That might just be what happens today, but it might, you know, on the political trail, might change the next couple of months, weeks.
Yes, all these updates are really, again, really important to follow closely, especially when with all these rumors about rescheduling cannabis and the federal cannabis reform being a possibility for this year. Again, some voices say that it may happen around April, so we'll see. And actually, to dive into our today's interview, which again will probably give us a lot of insight about all these topics we were talking about, I think we can actually jump to Robert now. What do you think of it?
Absolutely. Let's get into the meat of our conversation. Like I said before, we have Robert. Let's get him in the conversation. Robert, are you there? Robert, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm very well. Enjoying 2024 so far, and very excited to be here on your program.
It's fantastic to have you on Insider Cannabis today. And I want to start with saying, could you maybe share some inspiration behind the partnership between 7-9 and UCA, and how this maybe collaboration influences the customer cannabis consumption experience?
It'd be my pleasure to. So the UCA device has been or was in development for roughly 4 years. So it's been really interesting to work on a project that has such a long seed time where so many decisions have to be made early, especially in the context of, what everybody went through from 2019 to 2021 with the pandemic, and how that really changes supply chains and the way that you can launch a product, and as well as the cost of that product, in order to make it, especially at the type of scale that we were considering. And 7-9 came along as an opportunity within the cannabis space, of which I've been a part of for a good last 7 years or so, since about the dawn of the regulations in California. And 7-9 specializes in compounded kind of botanical formulations. And, really looking at cannabis, not just what amount of THC can deliver, because we all know it can do that, but also what else can it deliver? And how can, this plant that is such a wonderful, pliable, from a genetic perspective, plant that has so much to offer, how can we unleash all the other benefits that it has to offer as well? And so, 7-9 and UCA is a very, very tight collaboration. I work hand in hand with Paul Dawson, the product officer on the device side, with the UCA group, who hails from a significant pedigree with Dyson and work in personal air filtration and supersonic hair dryers and the like. So really having a chance to work with somebody of his caliber and bring this wonderful, innovative channel into California cannabis at a time where, I think innovation is really needed. I think, the cannabis community, both the businesses and the consumers in the space, are thirsty for new things, things that elevate the experience beyond what's been consistently available.
And let me jump into a question here, because UCA offers really interesting products that really stand out, I think, from competition. So I want to ask you, with your experience in product development and as a chief product officer of UCA, how do you think 7-9 pods actually complement to UCA's technology?
Well, I think they complement quite well. They are designed, with that intention in mind. It's a unique challenge actually that UCA presents, because it's a completely new way, not just to consume cannabis in terms of a new physical device, but it's a new occasion to consume cannabis and a new style in which to experience it, because we focus not just on the effect that the cannabis gives you, and then you go off and do other things. We also focus on the experience of the consumption of cannabis itself, which is something that's very, very different than many other devices. Most devices are a one hit and done, or if you have a higher tolerances, then more hits than that. But they're very, very fast experiences, and then you do something else. Whereas with the UCA platform, it's the centerpiece of the experience, which is rooted in its connection with the hookah culture, where the time to experience hookah is when you're there with your friends, you're having your coffee, you're discussing life and what's going on in politics and social circles and ideas. And this gives you a chance to do that all while engaging in the consumption of cannabis in a quite stylistic manner. So the actual consumables that go into the UCA device on the cannabis side of things are really unique, because we had to formulate those with the intention of having this experience of interacting with its consumption over the period of up to an hour. You can't really do that with a joint too well. You can't do that with other formats very well. But this is designed with that intention. So, they're fitted to that through an advance, I think, in the device space in cannabis, which uses a near field communication chip that makes the pod intelligent. And it lets the device know, what are my contents? How should I be used? How many people am I expected to be used by, to cater this really remarkable experience that is consistent from, the first hit you take all the way to, 45, 60 minutes later, if you want to come back and take another hit. And you can imagine this with people around a table and passing a mouthpiece with, sanitary tips and things like that for today's age. And having the actual inhalation part of the experience be very much just like breathing in between speaking. And I think that's the beauty of the relationship between bringing cannabis and the style of formulations that we have to make for this device and what the device delivers to people, especially people within a group. And it's not to mean that you can't use this device by yourself at home, because it has that intended use as well.
Yeah. Well, and I got to ask, it sounds like there is the social aspect of the product is incredibly important in building that. Going back a little bit, was that something that you enjoyed personally out of the product that you just really wanted to hone in on? I'm looking at your site and you're looking at the core values of the core uses of this. It's a social aspect. Have you gotten that use out of it? Do you enjoy that social aspect of UCA's products?
It's both from inside the experience and also as an observer of the experience, because we've run a lot of different consumer trials with the product and things like this, as you would responsibly do when launching a product of this nature. And what I noticed both inside the experience and also observing other people have this experience is there's this moment. And it's just this moment, it's like 10, 15 minutes into the session, where all of a sudden, everything is just very fluid socially. And it's this kind of magical moment where everybody hits their own stride. It's everybody around the device is an equal peer, and amazing results happen. And I've seen it time and time again, from our beta trials to smaller focus groups, to active live use in the wild. And it always hits that moment. And I got to say, it's pretty magical. And it's something that I don't really observe with many or if any other formats of consumption for these materials.
I'd love to see the recording of those focus groups. And I actually wanted to make you a question. maybe like a broader question regarding the investment landscape and tech products for cannabis. How has the investment landscape for cannabis related products and technologies evolved in the recent years?
And I might want to add just a little thing onto that for you and for, I guess, the broader picture of just, you know, other companies maybe you've seen as well.
No, absolutely. You know, we're in a very unique position, both with Prestige Laboratories and the 7-9 brand, as well as UCA, in that we're a fully funded project, you know, for the lifetime of the project. So it's really, you know, I think we're in a very fortunate space. I count my lucky stars in terms of being able to work in this type of environment, especially with the way that the economics around cannabis, especially the investment sphere has been since 2019, 2020. And that's really given us the freedom to be innovative. It's really, really difficult to innovate in a space and bring, you know, advanced technologies into a space without the capital to bring it there. And, you know, I think that's something that's really slowed things down specifically in California. But fortunately, there's enough movement on the federal landscape that I think people are really looking to the future and what will come and setting up the pieces appropriately so that when, you know, the walls come tumbling down, they'll be a grand opportunity to really see what the industry was always meant to be. Now, what I've observed in going to various, you know, conferences, you know, business conferences and things like that in the space, is, you know, the appetite has changed, right? There's a large number of brands that aren't here anymore. There are appeared on the surface, very successful groups that, you know, exist as shells these days. Also, there's a lot of hunger. You know, hunger for capital is very palpable in these expos and conferences, but the actual appetite on the investment side, you know, is very, very different. I think people are looking to put wise money in place, or smart money, you might say. I think there was a lot of rush into the space. A lot of people thought that it was their chance at generational wealth or these other things. And that crafted a certain type of industry and a certain set of business practices that, you know, inevitably are unsustainable. So I think what you'll see now is you're going to see groups that have invested in other spaces that understand how markets and new industries emerge and evolve, and are timing their positions appropriately to enter in a way that can produce profitable companies that can sustain themselves and survive, you know, changes in restricted consumables landscape.
And I think some would say that the cannabis market is kind of ever changing and maybe even volatile occasionally. And you're talking about market trends a little there at the end, and I kind of want to hone in on that. So, like, what are some of the current trends that you're seeing in the cannabis industry? I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but particularly regarding like consumer preferences and maybe like product innovation due to those consumer preferences.
That's a really good question. And you know, the cannabis space is a lot like, I think I hear the reference of dog years quite a bit. It seems like a lot evolves in a very little amount of time. And so, you know, some of the things that we're noticing is that, you know, a lot of the legacy elements of cannabis still drive the market. People still navigate products from a consumer perspective related to the morphology of the plant, you know, indica, sativa, hybrid, and what that might have implied over the years. And there was at some point this push very early on in, you know, 2016, 2017, for benefit-driven products, seeing that as being innovative in the space probably more true to actual in terms of how one would describe the effect of a product than a morphological type association. So, you know, in that sense, I'm going to back up here just a little bit. But when comparing, you know, benefit-driven products to morphological navigated products, they aren't that different. However, consumers still like what they are familiar with. So we still see that playing out quite a bit. And we see that, you know, when we look at our infused line, which is navigated by Indica Sativa Hybrid, and we look at our benefit line, which is navigated by the type of effect it might have. So, and those are very intentionally designed products. So we still see legacy items playing out. We still see high THC products, you know, higher percentage products, you know, driving a lot of the commercial aspect of purchasing behavior. But we notice that the intention to evolve beyond that is greater now than it was before. So I think this really plays out when you have new consumers entering into the space, ones that haven't titrated their bodies up to such high levels of THC and are really looking for, you know, lifestyle consumer products rather than a product just that just gets them as quickly as possible to the level that they're looking for and then go on with their day. And I think we'll see that playing out even more over the years. And one thing that I think that we're tapped into with the UCA device here is the advent of social cannabis. And I know that there's a lot of emphasis and capital going into various lounges these days, both in West Hollywood, other parts of LA. We see this happening in Nevada and Las Vegas and so forth. And so we're going to see people starting to come into a space that's not their home and not some other destination to consume cannabis. And so we're very excited about that trend that's honestly just now starting. So it'll take some time to evolve. But when that really catches fire, you know, look out, because I think we're going to see a whole new way of nightlife, and it's going to involve cannabis, and cannabis will be the destination, not some other place that involves cannabis. And I think we'll see that with lounges eventually. And so we're very excited about that, especially with the type of product that we have.
Exactly. No, I totally agree with that. Actually, the process of socially and normalizing the cannabis consumption is making actually one of the biggest push into the cannabis legalization in most of the states and also anywhere in the world too. I mean, Argentina actually here, and the growing social normalization of cannabis consumption is actually making possible the small steps for regulation. And actually going back to this dynamic or volatile, as Abby said, market, I wanted to ask in your opinion, how do changing regulations in the cannabis industry impact your business strategy and the product development? Thinking maybe these in the launches and again, all the possibilities that regulation allows in some places, but not in others.
That's a very, very appropriate question. I'm really glad you asked it. This is, you know, cannabis is a restricted space. And the interesting thing about restricted spaces, especially one that has the type of momentum that cannabis has, is those restrictions tend to change. And they often change in unexpected ways. You can see this, you know, in different states, and you can even see it within California as its regulations continue to evolve. So, you know, when we were already a year and a half into the development of the cannabis consumables for the UCA device, there was a set of regulations that came in from the DCC that changed manufactured inhalable cannabis. And, you know, that was really interesting because we had a whole set of products, including ones that, you know, had some other plants of various kinds that had synergies with cannabis that we were very excited about. My background is both in synthetic organic chemistry, especially natural products, as well as ethnopharmacology. And, you know, being able to pair appropriate plants with one another to give an augmented effect to a consumer that improves their lives is honestly what drives me in this space. So, you know, I understand what the DCC did there. And I think overall it was likely the smart move from their perspective, because what it did was it was intended to protect the consumer. And so those changing regulations limited the number of ingredients and type of ingredients that you could include in an inhalable product, while more is to be learned, you know, in terms of product safety and product stewardship. And I think that's an important step. However, I do regret the changes that it had us make in the products, because I think we could deliver a variety of more experiences and have a bit more flexibility there. And, you know, we do pride ourselves on having a very active toxicological and product stewardship element of our group. And so, you know, for us, we had to, and this was writing up until launch. And so our entire launch suite of products, we had to completely reformulate back from square one in a short period of time. Fortunately, we have a great team. We've already thought about those products and those changes in advance. So, you know, we were ready in the wings with some alternatives that we could bring forward rather quickly. But, you know, for a product like ours, which is an inhalable cannabis product, that isn't a new and novel format, such as with the UCA device. When we look at different states, every state has slightly different regulations. And so, you know, state by state, we have to look at what has to change with the product, what can we keep in, what do we have to take out, you know, in addition to all the other, you know, elements that you look at when launching in a given market, such as, you know, consumer demographics, purchase behaviors, and so forth. It does add a lot of complexity and it slows down, you know, national expansion and some other things, but it gives us an opportunity to, one, keep ourselves busy on the development side and continue developing IP within the group that as things start to homogenize regulation-wise between states or even federally, we're ready with a incredible variety of products that meet many different regulation sets. And, you know, that's also one of the benefits of having an innovative group like we do.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of work as many more states start to legalize, just seeming like that's where the trend is headed. But I guess I want to talk about the future and what kind of message would you like to leave the audience about the future of cannabis innovations and the role of UCA in shaping it?
Well, I think our group has always been future driven. So we don't necessarily make a product for right now at the moment in which we have the idea, the conception of the product. As you know, the UCA device has been in development for years. But we plan for what will come. And I think that way we can always stay, you know, in this first, second wave of change in the industry. I think the future, I'm not going to pull out a crystal ball here or say that I have the best perspective on it. But, you know, cannabis has a remarkable opportunity that no other plant in mankind has had. And that's having, you know, such popular support. You know, one degree of separation from somebody that has had a positive impact in their lives from this plant and therefore has economic support and you know, political support to be able to, you know, permeate things, you know, constructs, regulations, states, countries that haven't been able to be permeated before in such a way. So I think, you know, we'll see more of that. You know, we'll see states that are tiptoeing in, you know, take another step in. We'll see the federal government, you know, continue to evolve its perspective. And, you know, I'm, you know, sitting back here, you know, getting ready for what's to come possibly this year or in the future there. I think doing it right is really important. So I think we have to have appropriate product stewards in the space, responsible business practices, and really look at the safety of our consumer, because we are working with a powerful plant and, you know, a lot of it is novel. So, you know, I encourage everybody developing innovative products in this space, you know, to really invest in your testing, really look at all the data, even the data you don't want to look at, because, you know, that's how we create a sustainable set of products for the future, where, you know, we are self-regulated in such a way because of responsible behavior of the type of impact that we're wanting to have with our products. And as everybody knows, you know, you need to take care of your consumer. We have a product that one could use for their lifetime. And we want that to be a good life. So, I think, there's going to be a lot of people entering in with that perspective. I think you're going to see a lot of other industries. I mean, you already see it below the surface. coming into the space and bringing in new innovation and capital. And it'll be really interesting to see how it all manifests and blooms. I think we have the right landscape right now of fertility to really grow the industry. And only time will tell to see if any of us are right about what's going to come for cannabis. But I think what's going to happen in Europe is going to be, you know, really, really impactful on a global scale as well.
Exactly. Yeah, we're looking closely to what happens in Germany now. And I really want to highlight your last words about trying to get things right from the beginning to try to again build the first steps of the industry in the right way and having an approach on sustainability and quality products that the customers can embrace and use with confidence. So again, it's been really interesting hearing you and your insights. And I lastly wanted to ask you, how can viewers find your products? How can they get them and where?
Well, that might be the most important question you've asked today. No, but from a selfish perspective there. No, we really invite anyone who's hearing this to come and take a look at what we have to offer. You can come to our website, getuka.com, which you'll find a lot of information on how to try the product. We know that this product, it's an advanced device. It's an ecosystem. And so we know that consumers, like to try things out before they dive into something like this. And so we provide a lot of opportunities for that. We have some trial opportunities running at the Artistry in Los Angeles. You can sign up for opportunities to get free trials of the device. I'm sure we could even find somebody to bring an UCA to your house if you really wanted to try it and couldn't get out. Work with non-storefront retail delivery services. So, we're working on expanding that footprint so we can deliver the device and the consumables through our licensed partners to your locations if you live in certain metro areas. One of the wonderful set of relationships that we've been nurturing this past year is with the Cookies franchisee, the TRP group. Really love those guys. It's been wonderful working with them. We had a very successful mobile tour where we would have UCA devices available and go from cookie store to cookie store within the TRP lineup. And honestly, have been very delighted with that relationship. Those have been wonderful events and great opportunities to try the device and look forward to a lot of very focused opportunities, consumption events. If you get on our social media, on our Instagram, you'll have an opportunity to see what events are near you and come check it out. It usually takes one or two occasions and then, really, really get the product. And I think it's a remarkable opportunity to get to know us and us to get to know you.
Well, Robert, it sounds like you have just a bright future with UCA ahead of you guys. And we're excited to see what comes next. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again and just kind of keep an eye out for some of the big moves that you all make in the future.
Well, definitely appreciate being on here. Nice to meet you both, Abby and Pato. I've enjoyed the experience, and I'm beyond being in the product space in cannabis. I'm very much looking forward to what these plants can bring, and many ones beyond cannabis. I think cannabis is just the beginning. It's the gateway of compounded botanical therapeutics. And, I think we're going to see very beautiful things that come from cannabis's efforts. It can look messy for a while, but, gardening gets really messy as you sow your seeds. So I think I'm very excited to see where everything goes. And thank you so much.
Of course. It's a really good analogy.
Exactly. Glad you had a good time, Robert. And thanks again for being here. Take care.
Take care.
Well, that is a wrap on our first episode of Cannabis Insider for 2024. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic show. But before we go, I just want to remind you all to stay tuned for all of Benzinga's content we put on a daily basis, but especially be on the lookout for upcoming events. from our highly anticipated Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in April to our deep dive virtual events, one of which is coming up on the 11th. But for more information on how to get involved, check out benzinga.com/events.
Exactly. Thank you, Abby. I loved this first episode with you. Looking forward for more in the future. And don't forget to follow us on all social media for your most up-to-date cannabis news. I'm Pat Little.
And I'm Abby Higginbotham. Stay green, stay informed, and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.
Peace. Thank you very much.